months looking after her, very melancholy and every inch the wistful poet. It was time for me to go down and talk to Mrs. Inglethorpe.
Such a comfort to have a real soldier in the house at last. I could hang my head in shame at the way those stepsons of mine carry on, as if the war had nothing to do with them.
Oh, but surely...
Oh, I know. Lawrence is slightly lame, and John is technically too old for service, but as you well know, Captain Hastings, there are older men than John at the front, and boys more disabled than Lawrence. John goes out drilling with the Territorials once a week, but what good does that do?
And Lawrence?
He writes those miserable little poems of his, oozing with self-pity. Well, why can't he write something stirring and patriotic? Sons of mine, I hear you thrilling to the trumpet call of war.
Oh.
Well, at least Mary works with the land volunteers, gets up every morning before 5 and works till lunchtime. And there's darling Alfred, simply straining at the leash to be out there at the front, but I can't spare him. I really can't.
You need him for your bazaars and charities.
I simply do not know what I would do without that man. And he's put this house on a real war footing. Nothing is wasted at Stiles, not a scrap of food, not a single piece of paper. And we've given up late dinner, of course, as has Lady Tadminster, our member's wife. You'll have to be content with a rather Spartan supper this evening, Captain Hastings.
But for all her talk of economy, supper seemed a positive feast after so many cheerless meals at the convalescent home. That night I was kept awake by the unrelentingly beautiful song of the nightingales, and all my thoughts were of the enigmatic Mary Cavendish. But there was no sign of her in the house the following morning, and it was not until after lunch that she made an appearance.
Oh, you can't possibly waste a glorious afternoon like this sitting in the library.
So, we set off on a charming walk through the woods and across the fields.
I try to get out as much as I can. It can get quite claustrophobic at times. 2 married women shouldn't have to share the same house.
Mrs. Inglethorpe can't be an easy woman to live with.
Oh, don't misunderstand me, Captain Hastings. I have a great affection for Emily. But she does insist on having her own way. And she treats John and Lawrence as if they were still schoolboys. It wasn't too bad until Alfred Inglethorpe came on the scene, but now she won't listen to anyone except darling Alfred. Oh, sometimes I wish...
What do you wish?
No, don't let's talk about it any more. It's much too lovely a day. We'll cut across down to the stream. We might see a kingfisher, but we mustn't be too long. I promised John we'd be back by 5.
Thank God you're here at last. There's the very deuce of a mess. Evie's had a row with Inglethorpe and she's been given her marching orders.
But why? What actually happened?
Apparently she went to the matron, but here she is. She can tell you herself.
Well, I've spoken my mind at any rate.
Evie, this simply can't be true.
It's true enough. I said a few things to Emily she won't forget in a hurry. There's no fool like an old fool, I told her. That man's 20 years younger than you, and don't kid yourself, he's after anything but your money. And why do you think he's spending so much time down by Long Farm? Mrs. Rakes is a very pretty woman, and he doesn't go over there just to talk about how our crops are doing.
Good Lord, and what did she say to that?
She said I was a wicked woman to tell such terrible lies about darling Alfred, and the sooner I left the house, the better. So I'm off.
But not now, surely.
This very minute. Do you think you could run me down to the station, Mr. Cavendish?
I'll go and check the times of the train.
At least wait until I've had a word with Emily, Evie. I can't believe this is happening.
Captain Hastings, You're an honest man, I can tell that. Look after my poor Emily if you can. There are a lot of sharks here, all of them. They're only waiting for her to die so they can get their hands on her money. I've protected her as much as I can, but I tremble to think what may happen when I'm gone. Just keep your eyes open, and above all, watch out for that devil, her husband.
Evie went upstairs and brought down her luggage. The Inglethorpes did not appear. As John drove her off down the drive, I noticed Mary going out to meet a tall, bearded man who was evidently heading for the house. Was that chap kissing Mary Cavendish's hand?
Oh, that's Dr. Bauerstein. He's staying in the village. He's a London specialist who's apparently come down here to recover from some kind of nervous breakdown.
Is that the chap Mrs. Cavendish said knew so much about poisons?
One of the greatest living experts, so they say. He's a great friend of hers.
I didn't care for the...